Man, if you'll open your Bibles to Psalm chapter number 25 for just a few moments, this will be prior to us having this time of observing the Lord's Supper. And so I've got a shorter message for us this evening in Psalm chapter number 25. And I want to share this with you. I want to be a help to you and certainly been a help to my soul. I pray it is to you as well. And so as you turn there, I want to encourage you to sometime spend some time reading the different Psalms. I don't know if you're in the habit of reading through the book of Psalms, but the book of Psalms is a collection of the hymns of the Hebrews. And in fact, it's much like our hymnal in some ways. And the book of Psalms is put together, really, truth be told, it's actually five different compilations or books put into one book. And so there's divisions within the Psalms. They were organized together in different times. I'm just going to give you a short breakdown just very quickly as you turn there. The first 41 Psalms are considered Psalms of David. And those head up the book of Psalms. Of course, David is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. The second collection is found in Psalm 42 through Psalm 72. And it's mainly comprised of the Psalms of the sons of Korah, musicians. And I want you to think of that. I was telling the folks earlier that thank you for using your gifts and talents for the Lord Jesus. God has a design in that. And He uses every one of us in the local church for His purposes. And we think of those psalmists, the sons of Korah. The third collection runs from Psalm 73 to Psalm 89. Again, some of the musicians, the psalms from Asaph and the sons of Korah. There's even one psalm penned by David in Psalm 89 as well. And then the fourth collection is found in Psalm 90 through Psalm number 106. Now, here's what's interesting about this is most of those are anonymous psalms. They're not attributed to anyone. Psalm 90, of course, is attributed to Moses, which is very interesting indeed. But this tells us this, that all of God's people are involved in God's work. And so these anonymous psalms. And then we think of the final set in Psalm chapter 107 to Psalm 150 seems to be a collection that was used primarily for public worship. These were actual hymns that would be sung. And I want you to really pay some attention to the Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 25 tonight. And once again, we're going to remain seated. I typically, if I'm preaching through a psalm, we'll go through the entire psalm. And I'm just going to point out one particular phrase, but we're going to read the entire psalm tonight. And so just for tonight, we'll remain seated for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 25, if you will follow along with me. The Bible says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait upon thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Remember Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Father, that this psalm would mean so much more to us, and particularly this phrase that you really brought forth to my attention, Father, and just gave me such a blessing. Lord, I pray it be a comfort to thy people. Lord, we just continue to trust in you. We'd follow after you. We'd be guided and directed by you. Lord, I know that as we do that, we will not be ashamed. So, Father, I praise you for being so gracious and merciful. I praise you that all your paths are mercy and truth. And, Father, I thank you for the secret that you reveal to us. The Lord, would you just bless in a mighty way? We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. David, as with all the records God has given to us, shows us the twists and turns of life, doesn't he? He declares the twists and turns of life, and he shows us those things after he follows after the Lord. That verse brought out this morning in Bible study groups, Romans 15:4, means so much to me. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and hope of the Scriptures, patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And how true that is, that God has given us these things to help us. He's given us his holy word. And David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, was especially used of God to pen many transparent psalms. As you read the book of Psalms, oftentimes you'll find the psalmist crying out from his heart in desperation. Sometimes the psalmist is praying for fire and brimstone to fall from heaven upon his enemies. Other times the psalmist is raising his hands up saying, "I don't understand, Lord, what's going on." Many times the psalmist is asking to be guided in truth, and he needs help in his difficulties that he's facing. It's been said this about the psalms, that they're in the heart of the Bible, and here's why. Because they speak to the heart. It's the heart cry of an individual following after God. And the psalms in Psalm 25, we find a special encouragement for the difficulties in life. I can say without a doubt that every one of us experienced difficulties in this life. It's common to man, the temptations that befall us. In the 14th verse, I want you to underline this phrase. It's very precious. It's very important. He says, "The secret of the Lord." The secret of the Lord. I want to encourage you, it's a precious indeed phrase. He says in the 14th verse, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." When I came across that phrase, I was just reading in my daily Bible reading, and at first I thought about it was probably some mystery that God reveals. You know, there's many mysteries in the Bible. The mysteries revealed in the New Testament scriptures concerning salvation, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a handful of them. You do look them up sometime. Mysteries. You'll find that phraseology in the New Testament. And I thought in my mind as I read this at the first, I'm thinking, this is a mystery. This is a mystery that God's revealing. But as I looked a little more closely at this word, secret, I realized the blessing of this statement. The psalmist is over and over again referring to a simple thought, and that's this: that he wants to be taught of the Lord. Now, they don't know exactly when David penned this psalm. Some imagine it was the time when Absalom rebelled against him. And this was a very difficult time in David's life. If that was the case, he was on the run. Everyone was against him. And there's just a small remnant that offered to help David in his running away. You can kind of see how that would fit the picture, because David over and over again is crying out, "Lord, direct me, teach me, show me thy way, show me the path to go." And so often it is that you and I need to get on our knees. We need to ask God to direct us and to show us the way to go. And oftentimes in the greatest difficulties of life, that's the first place we need to go. This thought, if you'll notice in verse number 4, he says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." And I would pray this, that every child of God is praying that prayer. I pray that's your prayer, that you're asking God to show you his ways and to teach you his path. You realize this evening that if you ask the Lord to teach you his ways, if you're bold enough to ask God to show you his path, he'll do so. He'll show you his ways. And so the Lord Jesus said this in Matthew 5, 6. He said, blessed are they, listen carefully, which do hunger after righteousness. And guess what he promises? They'll be filled. But God doesn't leave us without hunger of righteousness, but fills us. He shows us the right way to go. He fills us to the full. Look here in verse 5 as he continues this thought. He says, lead me in thy truth. Almost a repetition. He says, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day long. Sometimes it is after our salvation that we trust God for our eternity, but we don't trust him for the next step around the corner. And we forget that the God of all comfort, the God of our salvation, who has us in his hands, also has the answer to what's right around the corner. He knows the next step that we need to take. He knows the path that we need to go. And here David says, Lord, would you lead me in truth? Would you teach me, God? By the way, that presupposes you and I to acknowledge the fact that we need to be taught. Sometimes we get so full of pride, don't we? We get full of ourselves and we say, you know what? I've lived 47 years here on this earth. I have this amount of experience. I've done this a million times. I've got it all figured out. And friend, can I submit to you this evening that every one of us need to ask God to direct us. Even if it's the 1,000th time you've done something, we need God to direct us. We need instruction from the Lord. And David says, I need to be led by thee. I need to be taught by thee. Notice verse 8. He says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach, praise the Lord, sinners in the way. I'm so glad that God teaches sinners in the way. I'm one of those sinners. And he teaches me. And our truth here that we can hang on to is our God is good. He's good. And I'm certainly glad for that this evening. I'm glad that the Lord does and will teach sinners in the way. In verse 9, David pins down these words that God will guide us and God will teach us in his way. Look at verse number 10. He says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Again, we see a reference to the ways and paths of the Lord. Even in verse number 12, David declares that God shall teach his way to those who are seeking after him. I believe we can see the thrust of this psalm is simply this. Lord, would you guide me? Lord, would you teach me? Lord, would you show me the way to go? What a blessed truth to realize that God doesn't just leave us to our own devices. Aren't you glad for that this evening? God hasn't left you alone. He's going to guide you and lead you as you seek his face. He hasn't left you just out here dealing with life without any help. He's given you indwelling presence. He's given you his word. And he promises to guide us if we'll just seek his face. The idea that the psalmist David is in the midst of difficulty. Notice in verse 16 through 20, he says, I have afflictions, I have troubles, I have pain, I have desolation and hatred from those around me. And he desired and found that God, in the midst of even that, would show him the way. Verse 16, I'm desolate, he says, and afflicted. Verse 17, he says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. So often, our troubles in this life seem to magnify and multiply, especially as we think of them more and more. They increase upon us, and this is what David's crying. In verse 18, he says, Lord, look upon my affliction and pain. And then verse 19, consider my enemies, for they are many. Again, we hear the cry in verse 20 of David as he cries out, and he simply just says two words. He says, Lord, deliver me. Would you deliver me? I say this evening that a great many of us can identify with the psalmist, can't we? Many could say this very night, there's troubles in my heart. I've got some troubling things in my heart. Many perhaps could say this night, I'm afflicted and have pain. I'm afflicted and I have pain. Perhaps some of us this evening could say with David, my enemies are many. Or maybe we might even say, this, I just need to cry to the Lord for deliverance because that's how I am. That's where I'm at right now. I want you to consider in the midst of all this that David was comforted by God in the fact that God would lead him, God would teach him, and even that God would pluck his feet out of the net. Oh, our adversary, the devil, is constantly laying the net, the trap for you and I, there's no doubt. The fowler is seeking the fowl, and he constantly lays out the net and the trap to try and trick us up. But David was comforted in that. But more precious than all of that is this phrase, the secret of the Lord. You say, how is that, Pastor James? The secret of the Lord, what is it? Well, can I tell you tonight that the secret of the Lord is an open secret? It's an open secret revealed to us here in the Scriptures. The secret is, you ready for it? God enters into our troubles with us. God enters into our troubles with us. He is always present. He's always with them that fear Him. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes things befall us where we think we're all alone. And perhaps it is that nobody else around us can identify with what we're dealing with. Maybe there's not another person around us that we can look to and they know exactly what you're experiencing. And I tell you that God is with you. God enters into your troubles with you. One Bible expositor said this, that this term secret does not mean something undiscoverable. The term secret, as it's given here in the Scriptures, means something that's intimate and close. Something that's intimate. I want you to think of this. The intimate and close things of the Lord are with them that fear Him. The intimacy and the close things of the Lord are with them that follow after His testimonies and His ways. Friend, can I assure you tonight that it's just as a loved one would share conversation on a couch. You think of sitting on a couch and speaking one to another and having intimate dialogue and conversation. This is what God is saying. This intimate conversation that I have with you is with them that fear me. Them who follow after my testimonies. Them who follow after my truth. Them who love me. It's such a comfort to know that I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It's such a comfort to know that God enters into the troubles of life with me. And I'm not on there by myself. God's intimate counsel, His help, His guidance, as it said here in the passage, the covenant, which is His plan, are with them that fear Him. His secrets are to those that fear the Lord. And I would encourage you this night to draw close unto the Lord. Draw close to Him. Stay under the protection of His wings. There's no place that's better than to discover the secret of the Lord. Ruth, the Gentile Moabitess, I mentioned it, discovered the comfort and protection in His wings, did she not? The Bible says in Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 12, as Boaz declares this wonderful truth, here's what he said. He says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Some might look at the situation and say, well, it's the wings of Boaz that Ruth came to trust. No, it was the wings of the Lord. And there she found help. You remember the record of Ruth as her and Naomi come back to the house of bread, to Bethlehem. They come back with nothing. They come back with nothing. They're empty. And they come to the house of bread. In fact, Naomi, as she enters into the gates of the city, cries, my name is Mara, which means bitter. And then the most unexpected things takes place for the Gentile girl, Ruth. She finds grace in the eyes of the kinsman redeemer, by the name of Boaz, whose name means strength. But more than that, she discovers the God in whom she trusts is the one true living God. She is under His wings. And guess what? Every one of her needs was supplied. It was all there for her. David described the blessedness of the secret of the Lord when he cried out in Psalm 17:8. He says this, "Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." David says, "Lord, I need to be under the shadow of thy wings. Keep me in secret communion with thee. Hide me from the world. Hide me from my enemies. Hide me from the oppressor under the shadow and safety of thy wings." Psalm 36:7 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." Listen, my friend, because of God's loving kindness, because all the paths of the Lord are truth and their mercy, you can trust your entire life under the shadow of His wings. Psalm 91:4, "He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be as thy shield and a buckler." Opposed to all those wonderful declarations, we see the sad response of the Lord Jesus. Remember, as He enters into Jerusalem, as they convict Him wrongly, as He bears the cross, He comes to say this. Luke 13, in verse 34, He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thee thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings." But He says sadly, "Ye would not." Can I declare to you this evening, in the midst of any difficulty you face, in the midst of any enemy that you face, in the midst of any heart that is full and heavy, the Bible declares the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. He will guide you with His presence. He will teach you in your time with Him, and He will reveal to you the mighty journey He has prepared for those that love Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Father, just this simple phrase found here in the 25th Psalm, in the 14th verse. Lord, it would be just the kind of truth that's needed in this very hour. The fact that the secret of the Lord, the sweet communion, fellowship and intimacy had with You is as them that fear You. And Lord, that You'll show them Your great and marvelous plan. Father, I pray for some that are having great difficulty this night. Lord, that Your hand of comfort be upon them. Father, I pray that those who place their thoughts and mind upon You will have peace in their hearts as only You can give. Father, help us to ever draw so closer to the Lord. Help us to spend our time with Him. Help us to understand You desire sweet communion with us. Father, help us to have a rightful fear of You. Lord, help us to depend upon Thy plan, for all Your ways are good. All Your paths are upright. Lord, You express mercy and truth to us all the day long. Father, I pray we trust in You in this very day. Lord, would You help us now during this few moments of invitation? Lord, we just love You.